This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
I heard Nathaniel Hackett getting the job with the Denver Broncos. That means he's going to hire Luke Getsy probably as his offensive coordinator. But when I hear Nathaniel Hackett, I think of his dad, Paul. And I'll remember, I'll never forget, I think I was a sophomore in high school. I went to a Pitt game, and it was this last year. It was the year that Sal Cenceri coached, like, the last game of the season when Paul Hackett got fired. And they were so on Paul Hackett at Pitt Stadium. The students were just crushing him. People were yelling. There weren't a lot of people there. They were screaming at him. And I remember walking in, and this guy was so drunk. Like, he just probably just graduated. He wasn't a college kid, but he wasn't old.
Okay.
And he had a Pitt hard hat on, I believe. And he was screaming. And he had this sign. I was a sophomore, I think a sophomore in high school. And he had this sign. It just said real big. And it was in a marker, big black magic marker. "Hey, Paul, you can't hack it."
Yeah.
And I'll never not see that sign when I hear Paul Hackett's
I almost
name.
Hear the. I'm just the visual picture.
And
you
then
just
they
painted,
were chanting that.
I can almost hear the guy's voice in my head,
I know.
Even though I wasn't there.
And the students were, "You can't hack it." But the sign he was holding up, it said, "Hey, Paul,
hack it.
You can't hack it." They were so angry in like 90, 91, 92 at Paul Hackett. I mean, they never. He had that John Hancock Bowl that he won when he coached when Mike Gottfried had left. And he won that game, and then from there it was kind of
all downhill.
Kind of downhill for Paul Hackett here. But good on his kid. Good on Nathaniel Hackett. So there's that. All right, I bring up a name, and I just wonder. I wonder if it'll happen. Now, do you have those clips from the Giants, Chris? Oh, I have them right here.
You have them? Okay,
yeah,
good.
About Deshaun Watson. Listen to Mr. Mara on Deshaun Watson and why the Giants would not pursue him.
We're not trading for Deshaun. There's so many reasons why we wouldn't do that. I mean, cap-wise, we couldn't afford it, but more importantly, with the allegations that are out there right now, that's just not the right fit for us.
Is it a non-starter for you as a Steeler fan? Like, we bring up all these quarterback names, okay? The two guys that are currently here, and then you hear Teddy Bridgewater. You hear, Aaron Rodgers. Yeah. You hear, what about Marcus Mariota, whatever. So if you're sitting at a bar, you're hanging out with your buddies, or you're just on a text chain or whatever, and someone says, Deshaun Watson, signed through 2025, is it a total – because we can get into the particulars on what it might cost.
Right.
But start at that point. Does it travel further than that for people?
It's a no-go for me right now. It has been since all these stories came out. Since all these allegations came out, it is a no-go. And much like John Mara there, I don't know how there's anybody in the league. And I think nobody is. It's why you haven't seen the move happen. Nobody in the league can possibly look at Deshaun Watson right now and not look at him as possibly toxic. And you can't make a move. Certainly the kind of move or offer up the kind of resources you would have to offer up to get Deshaun Watson. The Texans are going to hold on to Deshaun Watson until something either clears up in regard to these cases and they can actually move him for the right set, what they deem are the right set of returns, or it's going to end up going the other way. And Deshaun Watson's not just going to be out of football, but going to be in a whole lot more trouble than just accusations.
The Texans told me, and by the way, Fan Morning Show presented by Matt Mertz Plumbing, now part of the Armstrong Comfort Solutions family. If the Texans said it's two firsts and a second, it's next year's first, the year after's first, and a second therein, I'd do it today. I would do it right now. Because here's the thing. You have, and he signed through 2025. He's 26 years old. If they said that's what it takes, the search is over. It's done. You got your guy for 3 years. You don't have to figure out to try to go ahead and cultivate a quarterback. You know what you have talent-wise. Yeah, could somebody come in and suspend him? Yeah, that could happen. But haven't we gone in this? And I agree. I think that it's haven't we gone a long time with no movement on this case?
Yeah, we have, as far as I can tell. And I'm not reading up on it every single day, but we haven't heard anything move in a major direction or another in a long time. But I just...
You do run the risk somebody's going to walk into practice one day and say, you're coming with me, and you don't see that guy for a couple months. I get
it. Might not even be
that.
A couple months. That possibility still exists, that it could be Dunsky for Deshaun Watson, and he never plays football again. Like, that's still out there. And as long as that's still out there, I don't care how remote a possibility it is, it's a possibility. And to your point, it's a much better possibility that a suspension of some sort is in the offing at some point whenever he's on a team again that's willing to play him. I can't give up that much. If we ever got to a point where we knew Deshaun Watson was clear of all these allegations, then I think the scenario that you paint, the two firsts and a second or something like that, by all means, I jump in on it. But we're so far away from that still.
Probably, I think somebody's going to take that risk soon, though. It seems interesting to me that in all the talk and all the names that are thrown out there and everybody having these discussions, for Steeler fans, or at least for some, the name isn't even in the orbit. Like, it's not even a guy that is considered. Because if you're looking for something, okay, a bridge to next year to get through, okay, he serves as that. A long-term guy, he serves as that. He kills all the birds with one stone.
Oh, yeah, don't get it wrong. Like, if he's cleared of everything.
It's a seamless next franchise quarterback.
If he's cleared of everything.
And you don't have to worry about what he is. Could he potentially not be very good? It's a draft pick, and you don't know. You know what he is in the NFL.
Yeah, no, I see. That's the thing. I don't question a bit Deshaun Watson's abilities on the football field and what he could be if he were actually eligible to play. And I guess he's technically eligible to play. The Texans just sat him because they didn't want to have to deal with it. But I can't go anywhere near it. It's too toxic for me.
I do wonder if it was... If Ben's history wasn't what it was, if the Steelers would be more apt to jump into if there are Deshaun Watson sweepstakes or not, I don't know. The other side of it, too, just in a level of fairness, there have been allegations now for almost a year, for almost a year with this guy. And I wonder if push is going to come to shove at some point in time. Like, I'm not saying somebody's right or someone's wrong, but at what point is it fair for him to then be able to move on? Or is it fair to him to come out from under that cloud? Or should they go ahead and file charges? Like, there is a neutral that he is stuck in. I'm not saying he's a victim by any stretch.
Mm-hmm.
But when is he going to be able to come out from that?
I mean, whenever whatever investigation that's going on completes, I guess. I mean, I'm with you. I understand to an extent what you're saying. But I also think that to also back that point up, and at the same time, there's no inclination that this is going to end anytime soon.
Right. And I'm just trying to think about that from a vocation standpoint and what you were doing. Like, if you were that person.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I'm not trying to make him a victim. I'm just wondering how it came out of the gate so hard charging, and you have attorneys seemingly every day in the Houston newspapers going back and forth and back and forth at each other. And now it's slowed to such a crawl where there wasn't a day which it wasn't part of the news cycle right at the very beginning. And now you just don't hear anything.
I guess my issue with it is that regardless of Ben Roethlisberger's past and everything that he dragged the Steelers through, that for me wouldn't even have anything to do with it. It's just the fact that there are so many accusations against Deshaun Watson that I have a hard time believing. And if I'm even if you put me in the job of I've got to find a franchise quarterback in order to keep things moving forward, I still wouldn't be in a position to say, I'm going to ignore all that smoke and believe there's no fire behind it. Like, I couldn't attach myself to that player.
I think it's either going to go one of two ways, honestly. And this is why I'm talking myself into maybe it not being worth the risk. He's going to either walk out of there and it's going to be 100%, okay, you're clear, everything's good, And he's going to say, well, I can't believe I wait. Or the guy is going to end up in jail.
Yeah. Like, and that's still too distinct a possibility for me to go even start down the path. You know what I mean? Yeah. Forget all the PR issues. Forget all of it. Just look at it as a simple matter of availability. Let's be crass about it. Is this man that I'm going to trade a whole bunch for going to be available to play quarterback for me after all I traded for him? No, there's still a whatever, an X percentage chance he may end up in jail. No, thank you.
Yeah, it is a very intricate situation, though. And I can't believe, even with all the coverage it's gotten, at some point, Deshaun Watson, I can't believe he or his agent or the people that represent him haven't come out and said, hey, like, figure it out with me. Let me either play or go ahead and, like, let's go to court about this. It feels like he is in it. And again, I'm not victimizing him. I'm just talking about his ability to work. The Houston Texans seemingly have dragged him along and just put him in a holding pattern.
He's in purgatory.
And yep. I do wonder how fair that is without being charged.
I don't know if they weren't already looking to trade him before all of this hit, if I would look at it differently, I think. But they're, I think, in their minds, trying to protect what they look at as an asset. The asset for them is Deshaun Watson. And they want to trade Deshaun Watson when he's at his maximum value. Now, that ship may have sailed already, but they're going to hold on to this asset.
But it's weird that they hold on to the asset, but they don't choose to use him as a playable asset.
Well, because then he blows out his knee on one play, and now you have no asset as well. That's the other. You just increase risk that you're not going to get anything in return for him.
Well,
if
what
you
they
actually
could get
use
in
him.
Return is winning games.
They could. They could also deal with the fact that, like you said, a guy with a badge and a pair of sunglasses in a bad cheap suit walks in one day and says, hey, you're coming with us. No, we won't. Yeah, cuffs, please. Back of the car, we're going.
Yeah, this is it is something. A year from now, in January of 2023, where is Deshaun Watson? What's your guess?
Deshaun Watson is out of football.
I think
unemployed.
I think that he's playing for another team, not the Houston Texans. And I think that the trade value, I think it drops. The ask drops, not significantly, but I think somebody gives up a first-round pick for him and then some peripheral pick, you know, a couple. I think he's playing for another team, though. I think that he's lined up to go into camp and fight for a job with a couple years left on a contract.
I'm a whole lot more willing to put money on the fact that he ends up behind bars or in a
now he may be very
spot.
Less rich in that he paid a lot of people off, but I think that might absolutely happen, that he's on another team. It is a real interesting discussion to have, though. Text us, Edgar Snyder and Associates fan text line 412-928-9370. Edgar Snyder and Associates reminds you to text responsibly. Up next, we need to continue to put political pressure on someone. I mean, that has to happen because an event needs to happen soon. Cook and Joe every Wednesday. Hear about Starkey's Card of the Week, Baseball Card Castle, and Cranberry Contest run every Wednesday through Friday. Check it all out, 937thefan.com. We'll talk to David Bednar in just a couple minutes from now. So there's that. Tomorrow, I mean, you are not going to get enough of this. I mean, this is going to, the whole city is going to sing this song.
Jim.
Woo! Big celebration of Jim tomorrow. We need to get... Now, I put the bat signal out to Mayor Ed Gainey. I said, look, people are mad about the snow not being cleared off the streets and the city schools are a mess. You want to engender some goodwill, Mr. Mayor? Give Jim Colony the key to the city. A Jim Colony Day, if you will. Do it tomorrow on his retirement day. Make it happen. We've not heard back from the mayor as of yet. We anticipate hearing from him shortly. I'm going to get Marty involved in this. Marty Griffin, see if he could step on the gas some.
Yeah, I already mentioned it to esteemed newsman Paul Rasmussen, and he's going to see what he can dig up as well. I think it's an assault on all fronts to ensure that the mayor's office hears this message and acts properly.
Yeah, it's been a tough transition for Gainey. He walks right in, and like I said, he can't pick up the snow. People are mad. Everybody's mad about something all the time. This is what better olive branch for all of us than to just be happy, put a smile on your face. Invite Jim down to Grant Street, have him there at the a council, you know, in a council session, bring them there, give them the key.
Have
to
a little
the
proclamation
city.
Worked up. Whereas today is January 28th, 2022.
Yes.
And the final day of Jim Colony on the air at 93.7 The Fan. Whereas.
Key to the city, right?
Yeah.
And then Jim would put it in the wrong door. I mean, that's how Jim, that's Jim's luck.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
All right, noon to 4 this coming Sunday. High school gym, Mars High School. Get there. Planet Fest. That's what it's called. Planet Fest. Inflatables, attractions, games, athletic vendors, exhibitors, all kinds of things. Silent auctions. And we welcome in one of Mars' finest, David Bednar, Pirates closer. David, a very good morning to you. How's everything?
Morning, guys. How are you guys doing?
Great.
It's chilly today, but we're doing great.
A little bit.
Yeah, you outside throwing this morning?
Yeah, you on the backyard mound today?
Right.
Yeah, that's how you get a little grit, you know. That's, makes those 50-degree opening days not too bad.
Yeah.
Now, what's going on this Sunday? So who approached you? How did you figure all this out? And you're raising a bunch of money for your alma mater and the athletic programs, right?
Oh, yeah, this is an awesome opportunity. The Mars Backstop Club is putting on, you know, a big event, like you said. You guys are going to be there. The 2021 College World Series MVP will be there.
Who's
his
that?
His brother will be there.
Oh, I've never
Will
heard
Bednar,
of him.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I heard of that guy. yeah, it should be a lot of fun, some inflatable inflatable games, a lot of vendors, some concessions, and a lot of signed memorabilia and stuff like that. So it'll be a lot of fun, and I'm looking forward to it. Raise some money for the Backstop Club, and you know, help those guys have an awesome baseball season and the gear and their spring trip and everything like that. And just any shot to be able to get back to those guys is awesome.
Good stuff, David Bednar, Pirates reliever, with us here on the Fan Morning Show. At what point, David, will this lockout, assuming it continues, will it start to affect your off-season preparation, if at all?
Honestly, I've been just trying to keep it as, you know, as normal as possible. I haven't really altered my throwing because I figured, you know, if it does get pushed back at all, then I'd rather be over-prepared than, you know, than expected to be pushed back and not at all. So, I mean, honestly, I haven't really altered anything. Just kind of getting locked in and just getting ready to roll come, you know, mid-February.
What is the talk amongst the guys that you talk to, both here in Pittsburgh and the guys that you know league-wide? Is everybody just preparing as if you're going to go and play at the regular time and then they'll transition if that's not the case? Or from a preparedness standpoint and from a playing baseball standpoint, where is everything?
Yeah, I would say all the guys that I've talked to, it's been kind of the common theme. Like, nobody's really, like, taking any time off or, like, expecting things to – you know, everybody's being prepared for, you know, everything to start on time. And then if not, then everybody will kind of plan accordingly.
Well, where do you think the biggest ground? I mean, I know you're not like the union rep for the team or anything like that. I'm not asking you to negotiate a CBA here on the air, but like, what are some of the things that you think are most important to you and other guys around the league?
Honestly, I know that our leadership and our, you know, all of our player reps are doing a good job keeping everybody informed and everything like that. It just seems like, you know, they just need to, you know, they're starting to meet a little bit more, which is encouraging. And, you know, I'm just hoping that, you know, I have a lot of faith in them and that just something can get done before, you know, it affects games being delayed.
Now, look, you're an intelligent guy, went to Lafayette. You know, you're a guy that knows kind of, you're well-versed and well-read. But at the heart of it, are you, along with a lot of other players, like, look, I'm just a baseball player and I'm really not I'm not interested in a lot of this. I just want to play baseball and make money doing it. I mean, is that where you are? Is that the bare bones essential sort of thought process here?
I think at the end of the day, but then also at the same time, being immersed in this kind of world and then kind of having this be your livelihood. I'm definitely more, you see more of the business side of it, but at the end of the day, to simplify things and, you know, be able to do, go out and just get out with what I want to do. And I think it's, you know, it's good to have a knowledge of that and, you know, be interested in that, because that's, you know, that's how, you know, you make money. But at the same time, to be good at it, I think you just kind of forget about all that kind of stuff and just go out there and play.
Pirates reliever David Bednar with us here on the Fan Morning Show. You excited to go into the year with that title next to your name, closer?
I don't know about that, but I'm just excited to you know, go into this year, just kind of having last year under my belt, knowing what a full 162 feels like, and I'm just excited to go out there and compete again, and hopefully win some ball games.
Let's do, and I know we joke around about, you know, your brother and the College World Series MVP and kind of the pedigree that he has, but how has Will leaned on you and said, you know, take me through, and it's going to be a different minor league ride for him because expectations, frankly, are different on him than they were on you. But how has he kind of leaned on you and asked you for advice through this whole process, and can you provide a lot for him?
I don't know exactly what I can provide, but I mean, honestly, throughout this offseason, I mean, I remember my first offseason just kind of being completely lost, just because you go from being completely structured and in the college world to, you know, having just incredible amounts of time, and, you know, like, oh, am I doing enough? Am I doing too much? And so I think I've been able to help him kind of find that balance and just kind of lead him along, and, you know, like, you don't have to be, you know, throwing 100 miles an hour in January. All that matters is, you know, being healthy come June, July, August, September.
David, what did you talked about going through the experience of playing the full 162 and doing it at the major league level, but just physically about, I guess, your repertoire and your work on the mound specifically. What was the biggest takeaway, the best learning point for you from last year?
Honestly, I think the biggest thing for me was just, like, knowing that, you know, whenever I compete with my stuff in the zone, that it works, and, you know, just to keep my foot on the gas at all times. And, you know, there are definitely some learning points this year where I got burnt, but I think I did a good job of realizing, you know, not letting them happen again. And I think, you know, just kind of continue to build off that, just going out and competing and, like, just really trusting my stuff, because whenever I did that, I had good results.
All right, last thing before we let you go. You're 27, I think. You haven't turned 28 yet, right? You're 27, if I'm not mistaken. So you're 27. Roethlisberger is really the only quarterback you've ever known.
Come on, man.
Yeah, I know, and this is what I want to get to as a Pittsburgher. Did you have a Roethlisberger jersey, and what does it feel like now knowing, like, there's going to be someone else at quarterback for the Steelers?
There's just a giant void. It's kind of weird. I did not have a Roethlisberger jersey, but I do remember he did one of those pro camps at Mars, probably 10, 15 years ago. I was probably in middle school at the time, and I was able to get a signed Big Ben card. So I was fired up about that. I still have that sitting on my desk. But it's going to be really weird. I was at that Cleveland game, that Monday night game, and it was just awesome. Just, it's going to be weird though. I don't really know how to describe it. 18 years.
Yeah, bonkers. The only quarterback a guy like you has really kind of ever known. David, we appreciate it. Sunday out there, Mars High School, get there, open to the public. Bunch of attractions, games, vendors, exhibitors, silent auction, bunch of jerseys, different things. You can check it all out. We'll put it on our website. David, we'll catch you out there. We thank you so very much. We'll see you soon.
Awesome, guys. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Thank you, David.
See you Sunday.
Closer for your Pittsburgh Pirates, David Bednar. Really, really good stuff from him. You know, that's one of the things. You circle different things for the Pirates that you're like, well, I don't know what their record's going to be. But, like, I just want to see the advancement of him. I want to continue to see what Reynolds is about. I want to see what happens at the third base position, of course. There's a couple certain different things. And that's that. Like, can you handle a season going in knowing you're the closer?
Right.
And how that's different?
Yeah. Again, this thing's about development for the foreseeable future still. So you want to see that from not just Bednar as the closer, but like you pointed out, Reynolds taking charge as sort of a to be honest, a veteran leader now, and Hayes continuing to develop at the plate, especially all that.
All right, Brian Billick coming up next. We're joined by him. Don't forget Nick Costas, top of the hour. Can't wait to talk to him either. But Brian Billick, former NFL coach, to go over what's going on this weekend in the NFL. All right, efforting former NFL coach Brian Billick right now. Going to try to get him here. What do you got, producer?
There was a weird clicking that was happening whenever I called him, so I'm going to have
that
him call
every
us.
Once in a while.
Oh, okay. Yes. Well, that happens. Phones, traditional phone lines. That happens.
It's cold out. That's the ice.
Not a big deal. We tell you at the top of the next hour, we're going to have Nick Costas. No energy Nick, because he doesn't bring any energy. We're kidding there. Insider Calls brought to you by Bet Rivers Sportsbook. Check out the daily special to see what unique bet types are waiting for you at BetRivers.com. That's when we talk to Nick at the top of the next hour. But right now, we do talk to the coach. Former NFL coach Brian Billick, he joins us here on the Fan Morning Show. Coach, how you doing? Everything good?
I'm doing great. Thank you for asking.
Dug in for that snowstorm that's going to hit on Saturday and Sunday down there.
You know, we got hit pretty good last week, and I'm frankly tired of scraping my my front drive. Yeah,
seconded. Seconded.
Yes, certainly here in Western Pennsylvania. Now, we were knocking this around for the better part of a couple weeks now. If you take the situations, the quarterback situations in Kansas City, in Buffalo, in Cincinnati, and with the Chargers, how are the Steelers going to compete moving forward? It's tough in the AFC.
Yeah, like everybody, you better, and just in your own division. You know, you're looking up at Lamar Jackson, and you're looking at Joe Burrow, and who has played any better than Joe Burrow in the last four or five games, including the playoffs? Just a spectacular. And then Baker Mayfield, who's obviously shown signs of success in Cleveland. So, yeah, just within the division, you're going to have to keep up.
Yeah, and really across the conference, when you look at the duel that Mahomes and Allen put up on Sunday night, and then that next level of Burrow and Herbert, and even to the level after that of Carr and Lamar Jackson, I would guess, you know, how important is it that the Steelers attack the quarterback position, or can they take the opportunity to sort of give Rudolph and Haskins the chance, take a step back and assess for a year, and then go in on a quarterback maybe a year from now?
I don't know that in the NFL you can think in those terms. I think they probably already know. They've had those guys long enough, even though, you know, the body of work and actual games. And you'd like more, but at the end of the day, I think you have to make a strategic decision right now. Are these the guys, and are we going to go with that, or do we need to pursue in free agency or in the draft and go get our next quarterback?
Brian Billick joining us here, Fan Morning Show, former NFL coach. You know, one thing with the teams that are left that I marvel at is how often it seems like the Travis Kelce and the Patrick Mahomes go off the card and they just go off script and they ad lib. That's something that normally takes a lot longer to generate. It seems like they were able to do that pretty much from day one. Do you watch football games and see those guys and just go, I can't believe they just did that so often?
Well, yeah, it always begins with base talent, the incredible talent. And then that sixth sense nuance between them and Patrick Mahomes. Now, I will say, and Leslie Frazier is an outstanding defensive coordinator, but I got to say, what the hell were you thinking playing two-man? I mean, we learned along, you cannot play man against Kansas City in any way, shape, or form, because Patrick Mahomes is immediately going to find Kelce or Hill, or he's going to find the physical mismatch with Kelce. Now, you know, particularly early in the year, teams were be able to kind of keep, I say kind of, keep Kansas City under wraps. They weren't generating as many big plays because it was when teams went with the mentality, okay, we're not going to give you the big play. We're going to make you go 10, 12 plays, length of field. And they're certainly capable of doing that. But if you play any form of man, you're going to get scorched. And I was just shocked to see, particularly with 13 seconds left, to go two man, it fathoms me.
Brian Billick, former NFL head coach with us here on the Fan Morning Show. How do the Niners go toe-to-toe with the Rams?
Well, first, there's a familiarity, which is great. I mean, you're in a playoff game, but you're playing a team that you beat pretty good. You know, the formula for the 49ers is clear-cut. It's keep Garoppolo on a 25-30 pitch count, run the ball, play good defense, don't turn the ball over. To beat them, you have to do – and when they've got that going, even against a good team like Green Bay, that's a good formula for them. That is a winning formula for them. the key for the Rams, in my opinion, who is also playing very, very well, and you can see their formula. As long as Stafford doesn't turn the ball over, they keep that balance, run the ball, stay committed, and play, obviously, really good defense, which they're capable of doing, then I think the Rams will win. But Stafford can't turn the ball over.
Is there a very real quotient with the Bengals in terms of, hey, nobody thought we'd be here anyway, let's just go out and let it rip? Or is that kind of overblown in sports?
No, I think initially, yeah, there's a little bit of a freedom there, you know, us against the world, nobody believes in us. And I will say this, playing Kansas City, every week we go in and talk about, okay, what do you take to do to beat Kansas City? Well, you can't give up the big play, and you can't let it turn into a track meet. If you let it turn into a track meet, then you're in trouble. Well, Kansas or Cincinnati may be going, you know what, we're fine with the track meet. Our guy and our talent, if this isn't up and down the field, if this is going to be like the Buffalo game and we're going to go up and down the field and we can maybe have that last possession and maybe not play two-man and give up 80 yards in two plays, yeah, maybe we can pull this off. And they are capable of doing that. Now, in Kansas City and Mahomes and them hitting it pretty good, that's, I don't know that I'd bet that, but Cincinnati is uniquely qualified to keep up with Cincinnati or with Kansas City.
Is it realistic for teams to think they can still win with defense and a running game and not one of those elite quarterbacks we've been talking about?
Yeah, but okay, maybe you don't have to have an elite guy, but your guy's got to be pretty good. And that's an awful tight margin game. You know, I lived that obviously for years in Baltimore. And that's that when you're going to win 17-10, 21-13, those are some tight margins, and particularly since you're facing now those elite quarterbacks over a 17 game schedule, that formula, you can get into the playoffs and you can make a pretty good run. But now in order to get to the Super Bowl, that formula has to go through the Mahomes, the Allens, the Burrows, you know, and the list goes on and on. So, yeah, it's more challenging. Again, I don't think you need a future Hall of Famer necessarily, but your guy better be playing pretty well, pretty, you know, at a pretty high level.
Now, tell us what you're doing. You jump back in. You're going to work for Arizona State with Herm Edwards. What are you doing there, and why did you decide now?
Well, I've known Herm for, gosh, since 1980. We go back to San Diego. He was at San Diego State. I coached at San Diego State. Marvin Lewis is his defense, you know, is on the defensive side in the same capacity. Ray Anderson mm-hmm. is the athletic director. Ray was my agent and lawyer for years. I coached the Hula Bowl this year, which was great fun. And they approached me at the right time, and kind of proposed, this is, you know, the kind of a general, assistant, overseeing the offense and just seemed like, it could be fun, could be a good fit. And, you know, I'll lend whatever perspective I can. I've always said the time I've spent doing games for Fox and in the last 12 years working for the NFL Network, getting ready for the draft, if I were ever to go back into coaching, and this is kind of a quasi going back in, I'd be better for it because of the broader view that I have. So hopefully I can bring that perspective for them and excited about helping out the program.
Yeah, I saw Jim Haslett did this at Penn State a couple years ago. A bunch of people have done something like this, Coach, and it's just enough to dive deep in, but it's not your whole life, right?
Correct. And I, because that's not what I'm about right now, but I'm excited about getting involved with it, kind of coaching coaches, so to speak. I'm not a big fan of the outside perspective or the guy that, you know, the general counsel, so to speak, coming in and the consultant. But if it's done in the right way and in the right people, and clearly I'm very comfortable with the people there, I think I can lend something to it. I'm not going to be there on a day-to-day basis. It's more a general overview and seeing if I can help them craft something offensively that highlights the individual abilities of their players.
Well, and on that note, when you take a step back and look at offense globally, how do you see the college game influencing the pro game as opposed to vice versa? And how do you help, I guess, perfect the talents of the players that you've got, use them to their best ability, while also finding a system that works?
Yeah, well, that's the key, because, yes, there's no question that the game has changed slightly. It's opened up. Therefore, it's changed the personnel that you have on defense to a degree. But it's interesting, particularly as I'm now doing a deep dive into the college numbers and looking at Arizona State and obviously their opponents and that type of thing. It's amazing how the more the game changes, the more it stays the same. And by that, I mean, yes, it has spread out a little bit. But the numbers, the situational numbers, what you have to have an offense wrapped around in terms of open field, third down, short yardage, high red zone, low red zone, plus 10, goal line, backed up, pressure packages, 2 minute, 4 minute, just the basic situations, the process that you have to have covered going into a game. The numbers have not changed dramatically, and which is astounding to me. And so it is very much a contained field, and it's one of bringing specific focus to those so that the players understand that you're doing what your players do best, not just shoving the square peg in the round hole. Well, everybody spread out, so we're going to spread out. No, if your best personnel is 12 personnel, two tights and a running back, if your best personnel is 21, San Francisco is a perfect example. You know, they're full of 12 and 21 personnel. Why? Because those are their best people. If your best people are three wides, then by God, spread out and be in three wide. But if your best athlete, because at the end of the day, it's all about, are your athletes better than my athletes?
Plus, now Herm can get you some gear with the best logo, one of the best logos in all of sports. That Arizona State logo, sharp, man.
Yeah, it's pretty good. And they're an X-Tech pads, too. It's a double dip. It's great.
There we go.
Perfect.
Tell us about X-Tech pads before we let you go, Coach.
Well, yeah, I've been with them for 9 years, one of the original owners, and very proud of where we've come. We're the number one pad in pro football, number one pad in college, major college football, all the major programs, all the elite players, and now finding its way down to the high school level, which is really gratifying. It's gratifying to see the parents now vesting themselves in the process to make sure that their players are in the best pad and protection possible. And X-Tech Pad is just that. It's been proven. They can go to xtechpads.com or go to Instagram. And this is the pad that our young people need to be in.
There we go. Coach, we thank you so very much. We'll talk again soon. Good luck with Arizona State and everything else. And thanks again.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks, Brian.
All right. There he is. Coach Brian Billick, always so great with his time and his insight. We love him. Love talking to him. Nick Costas, top of the hour.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.